with Professor Evan Ellis of the U.S. Army War College, we turn to what appears to me to be a mystery. Once copper, when copper price went up, Chile's economy went up. The peso profited, but no more. I read from a report at the Financial Times that world copper prices in 2021, second year into the third year of the pandemic, rose by 25%, but the peso in Chile crashed 17% against the U.S. dollar. There are others to talk of, the divergence between natural resource producing economies of Latin America and the growth of the underlying economy. I read that this is not entirely a pandemic story. There was slow growth throughout the region, generally speaking, 0.9% per year, 2014 to 2019. Professor, is this a detail that determines who wins at the ballot box? Are we seeing the numbers behind these campaigns?
Well, this is a phenomenon we've talked a lot about, John, in the show and in other ways. When things get bad, investors look for the least bad place to put your money. And for all of our problems here in the United States, a lot of international investors, including those in Latin America, are much more comfortable keeping their money in dollars than other currencies, which means that the dollar has remained unusually strong. But what it really reflects also is that for people with money that make those practical decisions and for others, despite the GDP numbers, and you have some signs of recovery in Latin America. So after a 6.8% contraction in 2020, you had 5.2% growth this past year, although that is expected to be slowed. But really what happened behind the scenes was a devastating transformation through COVID on Latin American economies. You had not only the health effects, you know, some of the most lethal effects in all of the world in Latin America. You had dramatically worsened fiscal balances in terms of debt among the higher end countries in Latin America. Debt as a fraction of GDP increased by about 10 percentage points. You had the disappearance of just tens of thousands of small and medium enterprises, the famous PYMEs. It was estimated that a generation of Latin Americans disappeared from the middle class back into the informal sector and the poor. You had, because of those things, inequality increasing by about 5 percentage points, according to the Gini Index. These are things that my colleagues at the Economic Commission for Latin American and the Caribbean, ECLAC or CEPAL, have long done some very good work on. But the bottom line is, structurally, Latin America is hurting, and you're seeing that pain in a myriad of different elections. You saw it in the frustration in Chile that brought leftist Gabriel Boric to power. You saw it in the frustration in Honduras that brought Xiomara Castro and her Libre movement to power. You saw it in some ways in the return of the MAS in Bolivia. You saw it in the frustration in Peru that brought this unknown candidate from Cajamarca, Pedro Castillo, to power in Peru. And we're seeing it now in the things we've already talked about today, the frustration in Colombia that are poised to bring to bring the left back to power there, and perhaps to bring the Workers' Party and Lula da Silva back to power in Brazil. And so Latin America is hurting, and investors are showing it, and it's being shown at the ballot box, even if the numbers aren't quite as clear as to what's happened.
And the copper story, I see this, but underneath the copper story is this new president-elect Boric. I don't recall him making remarks about this particular divergence of copper price increasing, peso declining against the U.S. dollar. He's talked about egalitarianism, leveling issues. Does that promise to close this gap between copper price and divergence, or does that promise to exaggerate it? I can't tell at this point.
It's going to make it much, much worse. And, the specific story in Chile, of course, Chile has long been one of the best managed, most stable economies in Latin America. However, with the collapse of the business environment in Chile, with the forces that led ultimately to the election of Boric, with the current rewriting of the Chilean constitution that's introduced much uncertainty, what's happened is investors don't want to put their money in investments or otherwise hold them in Chile and peso-denominated assets. And so that's meant that even though Chile is making a lot of money in the short term selling copper, unlike most of the rest of the recent past, investors still don't want to be in the market right now. And as we've talked about on the show, Boric has been talking about restricting that cash cow for Chile, copper mining, for environmental reasons. He's talked about significantly increasing taxes in Chile. He's talking about expanding government programs and doing away with their private pension system. He's talked about increasing the minimum wage and decreasing the length of the workday, something that is going to devastate marginalized small and medium enterprises in Chile who've already been suffering. And so if you're an investor saying, do I want to put money into Chile right now, or do I want to keep it in dollar denominated assets someplace else? Boric's election, the rhetoric of his policies, even if you don't think he's going to be able to institute everything, the constituent assembly, it's all saying, hey, we're going to wait before we put any money in Chile right now. And at the end of the day, that hurts one of the best economies in Latin America.
I note that Lula's former finance minister is quoted in this story about how Lula, who is at this point, the heavy favorite in Brazil, is going to have an ambitious investment program. That'll be a treat to see what that looks like, Evan. Ambitious is a many splendid word. Professor Evan Ellis, he is the Latin American research professor at the U.S. Army War College Strategic Studies Institute. Canaima National Forest sounds like a treasure. I understand there are reasons to doubt that travel to Venezuela would be safe, but at the same time, the Amazon is a gem from 66 million years ago. I'm John Bash.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.